The Gaming Control Board has told licensees they can't be involved in the medical marijuana business. But what about members of their families? That dilemma is facing the Familian family, where Bruce operates Nevada Gaming Partners, a slot machine road operator, and his wife Sarah has an interest in GB Sciences Nevada, which has applied for a dispensary license for medical marijuana. At least one of Bruce Familian's clients has been told he needs to find a new partner to supply his slot machines. Bruce Familian says he was blindsided by the control board's action. And he joins us now with his attorney, Jennifer Roberts of Lionel Sawyer & Collins. Bruce and Jennifer, welcome to KNPR.
Good morning. Thank you.
Bruce Familian, you have said you were surprised when a routine application was rejected at the Gaming Control Board meeting last week. Why were you surprised?
Well, we were not even supposed to be there. We were on a routine scheduled agenda number 25, and one of my clients was on schedule number one. And we were told the day before we did not need to attend the hearing. And my attorney was told she did not need to attend the hearing, and she was there on a pro bono matter. And I, since the client was on an agenda number one, I decided to drive over and sit in the audience and just observe and listen to the process, and with no expectation that the outcome would come out the way it did.
You have said you've been told by board officials there were no problems with the application to put five slot machines in the Crab Corner restaurant. So how did this happen?
I'm as surprised as you are. I informed Gaming Control of my transfer when I sold the interest after the commission voted on the board's letter, memorandum, and I furnished them with all the backup paperwork that included the documents, the checks, where the money came from, the source of funds, where the funds that were from my wife as her sole and separate property, and long before we were married. And I had a scheduled meeting with the board for Friday this week, and it's still scheduled. And I thought any issues that may still be out there would be dealt with on this Friday.
Now, you have said your wife, Sarah, has bought the interest in the marijuana dispensary with her own money, runs her own business.
That is correct. She's a licensed broker.
On the other hand, as a family, surely your money is somewhat mingled, at least. Surely she pays for some of the things you do and vice versa.
She doesn't pay for anything. So her money has always been her money. All the real estate commissions that she's made over the years as a real estate broker have stayed as her separate property, and those monies have never been commingled whatsoever. Compliance is my life. I understand what you can and can't do, and if there's a line drawn in the sand, I'm going to abide by it.
Jennifer Roberts, what is the legal status of husbands and wives running separate businesses? Does the government have to accept that they're separate?
Well, this is a community property state, and we understand that there might be concern if the transfer of an interest goes to a spouse and it becomes community property. But Bruce's case is distinct in that there is complete separate property. It's legally separate. That was even acknowledged by the board. And so there is a different case in this case with Bruce and his wife.
Now, Bruce Familian, you have said that your wife bought the interest in the dispensary business herself, her own money. On the other hand, on the original application for the license, her name's not listed. Your name is listed on the application as the trustee for the trust that was holding the 8% share in the business. Doesn't that suggest that moving the business into your wife's name was really something of an effort to satisfy the Gaming Control Board that you had no role in the marijuana business?
Well, yeah. I mean, gaming had not issued any statement or opinion on prior to about 4 days before the cutoff with Clark County. And as soon as they made their opinion, I made the transfer. So it was done very quickly and done correctly. And the ultimate application with the county was in Sarah's name.
Well, do you understand then why the Gaming Control Board thought that merely moving the business to your wife was not enough to really separate the slot business and the marijuana business?
Well, I thought with the backup that we had furnished them that clearly separated it. And in my particular case, satisfied the issue. In fact, the commission even specifically said that they're not drawing the line in the sand over husband, wife, child, daughter, tenant, landlord, et cetera.
Do you accept the idea that the Gaming Control Board's justified in keeping gaming licenses out of the medical marijuana business?
I think that that's a question for the higher-ups of Nevada, because a law was put into place that everyone should have a fair right to participate, and drawing a line in the sand that half, you know, of the 40 people in Clark County that are going to be operating, you can't pick and choose who you're going to allow to do what. Everything's got to be fair. And I think that's something that the higher officials need to address.
So, Jennifer Roberts, with all that in mind, what happens now? Are you going to sue? Are you going to ask the board to reconsider? What direction do you think you'll go in?
We're looking at our different options right now, and we hope that this is something that the commission will be able to address. And this is something, again, that we're meeting with the board to discuss. So we don't have any clear direction right now. It's kind of fluid, and we're willing to work with the gaming authorities, but we want it done in a manner that provides protection and doesn't impair the business that Bruce has developed over these many years.
So, Bruce Vermillion, would you be willing to sell off your wife's interest in the dispensary business, or would you sell off your slot operations first?
I don't think that decision. I think the other issues of due process and so many other issues have arisen from this that that's not a question I can answer at this point.
You haven't really thought about it much?
Well, I'm not thinking about it because so many other issues have come into play about fairness and being sideblinded by not having a chance to be heard, and no complaints been filed. I have been in good standing for many, many years, been a licensee for many years, and respected the privilege of being a licensee. So a bigger issue has developed that I have to address before I can draw a line in the sand on that issue.
So how has this decision affected your slot business?
I've had customers call me that were notified by gaming officials that prior to the hearing that they should go find another slot route operator. I was unaware of this. And I've had customers call me that are considering canceling their contracts with me. They're not comfortable. And I have several applications in the queue right now that are in process. Some, I believe, are going to be heard in August. So we're very anxious to see the outcome of that and if we're going to see the same of what we just saw last week.
Mm-hmm. Gaming Control Board Chairman A.G. Burnett recently said he wanted to make an example out of your case. What did you think when you heard that?
I was incredibly surprised that I'm the example. I don't know why they chose me, but they did, and I feel that my due process was violated, and I want to clear my name and get out of damage control, because right now it's, I've got a lot of people who work for me are very concerned about their jobs and what's going to happen, and whether we'll be able to get any new customers even when this is all done.
Bruce Vermillion, Jennifer Roberts, thank you both very much for being with us.
Thank you.
Thank you.